Heavenly Father, we ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips and only your word would be spoken. Open our ears and only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. As we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to John chapter 14, beginning at verse 12. In the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1146. Just to set the context a little bit, again, we've been working on this for a few weeks. This is part of the final discourse of Jesus, words to his disciples and apostles, according to the Gospel of John, before he entered into his passion, death, resurrection. And so these words are very, very important. It's kind of like his last instructions. He spent, we think, about 3 years with the disciples. And now it's like, okay, here, listen up. This is the important stuff you really need to pay attention to. And so we pick up in chapter 14 of John, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This is the word of the Lord. Just a couple paragraphs there, but boy, it is sure packed with meaning and power. Just think of the words of Jesus, that whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Think of the things that Jesus did. Turning water into wine, multiplying loaves and fishes, healing people, casting out evil spirits, and even raising the dead. And Jesus says, you see the stuff that I've done here? Guess what? You're going to do even greater things than this. Even greater things than this. Wow. What a statement. How is that going to be possible? He says, well, I'm going to go to the Father. I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to send you the Holy Spirit. Another helper, interesting word, helper, to be with you forever. So here we see, as we celebrate today the Feast of the Trinity, that there is one God, but there are three persons in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see this in these two paragraphs from John's Gospel, where we have Jesus is saying that I'm going to go through this passion, I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to ask the Father, he's going to send you the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, is another word, the Counselor, the Helper, who's going to be with you forever. So that's the Spirit of God. Now the world cannot receive this Spirit. Why? Because the world doesn't know him. But we know him. We know the Father in Jesus as he has revealed the Father to us. And so we see these amazing words that you know him. How do you know him? Because he dwells with you and will be in you. Boggles the mind. Do greater works than Jesus? Because he's going to go to the Father. The Father is going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come and dwell within us. And then the Holy Spirit is just going to do these amazing things through us. Wow, what a statement. What a statement. If the church would just understand and accept and grasp this one teaching, it would change the world, literally. It would change the world. And so we have this amazing statement of this power of God that will come through the Holy Spirit. And that was affirmed as we looked in the last couple weeks about the Feast of Pentecost and leading up to that Feast of Pentecost. Remember that Jesus said to the disciples, okay, I'm going to be leaving. I'm giving you this mission to do. It's up to you now. But don't start out until you receive power from on high, which you will receive in a few days hence when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you You'll receive power. And then you can go out and do the things that I've called you to do. In fact, not only will you do things that I've been doing, you're going to do even greater things than that. Because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who's going to be with you. And so they did at the Feast of Pentecost. And we looked at that last week. Receiving the Spirit as we believe, but also the baptism of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit that seemed to be possible multiple times. And so we pray for that empowering, that filling of the Spirit. And so how did it work out in the early church? These words of Jesus, and we should be able to look back through the Acts of the Apostles and the writings of Paul. How was it that the work, the evangelizing, the spreading of this good news about Jesus Christ, how did that happen in the world, such to the point that really in a short time, although it's 250 years, Christianity became the religion of the empire, the Roman Empire? How did that happen? It happened by the Holy Spirit. We heard in Paul's words from 1 Corinthians, when he came to Corinth, he didn't come with power and with great eloquence. He was no oratory genius. Yet he came with fear and much trembling and weakness. He says, my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom. You think, well, then how could he be such an effective evangelist? How could he be such a powerful spokesperson for the gospel of Jesus Christ? He says, well, it was in demonstrations of the Spirit and power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. These are powerful statements. Powerful statements. So that our faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. How much in this culture, again, which this is really anti-culture for us, so much in this culture, we look at the words that are expressed, and we hold up these leaders and even preachers. You know, we aspire to be able to preach like Billy Graham or to be able to preach like Alistair Begg or these, you know, these great oratory, just beautiful words, you know, Charles Spurgeon. And we're inspired by the words, and yet Paul's saying he fumbled and stumbled and kind of got the message out about Jesus being crucified. But what was it that really got the people? Evidently, demonstrations of the Holy Spirit and of power. That's what convicted the people. That's what converted so many to Christianity. And that's what will save the world if we can get the people to listen and just see this power of being manifested through us of the Holy Spirit of God. I continue to talk to many of us who have loved ones who don't seem to have a relationship with the Lord. Not interested in church, don't care about the Bible studies and so forth, maybe nice people. They just don't seem to want to even hear us. We talk about, you know, come to church, or, you know, what about Jesus and helping? And it just doesn't seem to click. And people say, what can I say to someone? How can I share with them? How can I get across to somebody, get them to come to church with us, or get to join a Bible study? And we continue to think of the magic words. And I even think about it, well, what scripture pass can you tell them? And I'm becoming more and more convinced, as the power of the Holy Spirit is manifested in us and through us, that will be the greatest witness to those who are around us. They see power working in us and through us, and they're like, hey, where's this power coming from? Well, let me tell you about the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you about Jesus. And so I think that's the greatest evangelism. That's what happened to Paul. He was no great orator, evidently. Weakness, humbling. And yet he was so effective in preaching because it was the power of the Holy Spirit was working in him and through him. And that's what caused so many people to come and to be convicted by the work of the Holy Spirit in them through the words of Paul. And we see this later on that Paul was talking in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. The kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. The kingdom of God is not about talk. I mean, yes, we have to talk and share the word, but the kingdom of God primarily is about power. That sounds like something strange. Again, it's anti-culture to us that we would expect to have that kind of power. What about what goes on, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians? He said, our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full convictions. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. The gospel came to you in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. So as we endeavor, desire, to be the mouth and the hands and the feet of Jesus in this world, to lead others to Christ as Christ has led us to Him. It's not going to be the eloquent words or the magic phrases. It will be the power of God working in us and through us. It's going to be manifested in such a way that other people will look at us and say, what is that power working within you? And so how is that power manifested in us? Well, there's a number of different ways, and we're going to look at a number of them today. First, I would say, is to realize, when we talk about power, now this is not something we would ordinarily think of. When we think of power, most often we think of signs and wonders, and certainly that's the case. You know, let's do a few miracles, and that will certainly get people's attention. But think about this, and this is where I think maybe Jesus was saying, you're going to do greater things than changing, you know, multiplying bread and fish. You're going to do greater things than turning water into wine. Guess what you're going to do? You're going to turn people's hearts. You're going to change people's hearts. And think about that. Is that not a greater power than a physical healing? And one of those he talked about was the power to forgive. I've talked to some people and they just say, I can never bring myself to forgive whoever this was, whatever they did to me. I can never, you know, and it's like, okay, you can't. But God can. And if you surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit, God will bring you to that point. You can just let it go. That's what it means. Not condoning what that person did, but being able to just let it go, as horrible as it may be. To love your enemies? Who ever heard of such a thing? And that's what Jesus, that's why he turns everything upside down. He says, no, this is the power to forgive. When he met with the disciples that first night, resurrection night, remember we talked, he breathed on them, said, receive the Holy Spirit. The very next thing he said, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they're retained. That means you have something against somebody. If you forgive them, it's gone. Guess what? If you hold on to it, you know, this is my grudge. I've earned it. I'm going to hold on to it. Worked a long time to make this grudge really good, and I'm not going to give it up easily, right? The power of God working in us to be able to forgive. What a tremendous power that is. And that's what Jesus said. Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they let go. Guess what? They're gone. The power to forgive. Another power that we see working is the power to witness. This is something specifically Jesus told the disciples. Don't go out there and try to tell them about me until you receive power from on high. And we're told in Acts chapter 4, verse 33, with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The disciples knew they had to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit, that boldness to go out. Peter, an uneducated fisherman, stands up on Pentecost Sunday and gives this tremendous sermon. How does that happen? Where does it come from? The power of the Holy Spirit to be able to witness and to give that testimony. So we go out to share with somebody, whatever, it's like, oh, I don't know what I would say. I don't know, you know, how to, you know, approach this person. The Holy Spirit will speak through us. The Holy Spirit will speak to us and give us that boldness. Oh, I'm afraid, I'm not sure. You know, I go to this family functions and, you know, I don't believe in abortion or the other thing, but I don't want to speak up, you know, because the families, you know, they're kind of liberal and there's some people. I don't want to offend anybody. I'll tell you, you pray and the Holy Spirit will bring a boldness upon us. And we'll stand up and say, hey, look, this is what I believe. These are the things that I stand for. Boy, our country needs that now more than ever. The boldness and the power to profess the truth that we know that's revealed to us in Holy Scripture. That power comes from the Holy Spirit. Another power we have is the power to believe. The power to trust. Here's a scripture passage from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. That word hope is a certainty. May the God of hope, the God of certainty, fill you with all joy and peace. Do we need more of that? Oh, yes. How? In believing. In believing. In trusting. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in that trusting, in that believing. I think, again, the application of this, to think about the trials, the challenges that we're all encountering in our daily lives, and some to more degrees than others. But to be able, in the midst of that, to say, I know my Redeemer lives and one day He's going to stand upon the earth. To know in the midst of the challenges and the trials, I still trust in God, that He's still in control. The things I see happening in the world. And don't we know some people like that? No matter what, they just have this sense of faith, this trusting, this believing, that it's going to be okay no matter what I'm going through. That's power. That is really, think of it, that is really a powerful thing in the midst of all the stuff going on. You know, maybe things happening health-wise, maybe with my finances, maybe in relationships. And in the midst of all, to say, no, this is going to turn out for good because God is with me. It's going to be okay. I'm going to trust in God. What a tremendous power that is. Where does that power come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. Let's look at another one here. Yes, we do have signs and wonders. We're told again in Romans chapter 15, verse 17, in Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except Christ has accomplished through me. See again, who's doing it? It's Christ through me, His Spirit, to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. The power of signs and wonders, the power of the Spirit of God. This again gets back to a situation. We've got loved ones, friends, family, whatever. They don't seem to have a relationship with Jesus. And we want those magic words, some way we're going to convince them mentally, you know, to accept Jesus as Lord. I think now a very effective way, pray about this and offer it, but maybe to say to a person, I'm praying that you're going to see some kind of a sign that will demonstrate to you that God is real and that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Can you imagine the effect of that on somebody? I don't know what it is. I'm not going to specify and I'm not going to say. Maybe they'll look up in the cloud and see, you know, Jesus saves, you know, written in the clouds. I don't know. Let's leave that to God. But can you imagine the power of saying to somebody who doesn't believe, I'm going to pray that God's going to give you, and you will know it when you hear it. You'll know it when you hear it. And when you do, realize that's what I'm saying to you. God is real and Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And then leave it to God. Leave it to God. And something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. And so what a great way to share with people. Not magic words. It's not about me. Say, God's going to give you a sign. Something's going to happen. And when it does, realize that's what this is about. This is a testimony about Jesus Christ. Signs and wonders. Amazing stuff. Next one we want to look at is the power of prayer. The power of prayer. We get this as I was looking through. I mean, there are so many, by the way, this is not all-inclusive, so many passages here about power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God being manifested. Here in James chapter 5, verse 13, if anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. If anyone is sick, let him call for the elders of the church, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. The prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. We say, well, he's talking about Elijah. You know, I'm not Elijah. What a righteous person means, a person who is in right relationship with God in Jesus Christ. A person, as we come together, we confess our sins to God. We are at peace with God. We share the bread and the wine with a peace offering. We greet one another. We enter into the Word of God. Our minds are open to the truth of God. When we are in the midst of this with the body of Christ, we are at righteousness with God. The prayers of a righteous person have great power. Why? Because we heard we have the mind of Christ. It is Christ in us and working through us. And God hears our prayers. Our prayers have power. I think it's so unfortunate we don't have a sense of that, that we realize we just have to, again, by faith, just believe that when I pray to God, He hears me. And yes, according to His will, He's answering my prayer. And again, if we want to say, well, to pray in the name of Jesus and to make sure my prayer is heard. Now this, when I hear this, I kind of think, you know, well, this is just kind of a cop-out, or this is, you know, when Jesus says, whatever you pray in my name, I will do. And I'm like, what does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? And I keep going back to this great prayer. Heavenly Father, please give me what I would have asked for if I know everything that you knew. Heavenly Father, please give me what I would have asked for if I knew everything that you know. And it's like, Well, but of course he's going to answer that. Duh. Yes. Yes. That was the prayer of Jesus. Father, thy will be done. That's what we pray in the Lord. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, please give me what I would have asked for if I knew everything that you know. And that prayer will be answered. And then God leads us how to pray about certain people. Power in prayer. And then finally, I would offer up again, not all inclusively, but the power of the Word of God. The power of the Scriptures. We're told in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the armor of God in the midst of this spiritual warfare that's going on. And what is the sword of the Spirit? What is the offensive weapon that God's given us? It's His Word. And I have had numerous times where I myself have been comforted and strengthened simply by the words of Holy Scripture. When I felt uncertain or fearful or anxious about something, and I turn to the Scriptures and I find peace and relief and comfort. I've spoken to people on the telephone. They've called and says, oh, this happened. You know, I can't do it. I got all this going on in my life, and I don't know what to do. And I'm like, oh, hold on. Get out your Bible. Open up to Psalm 118. I said, and please just start reading the Scriptures to me, Psalm 118. And a person, you can just feel the anxiety in their voice. And they'll just start praying through, and you can just, it just kind of settles down. And all of a sudden, the peace comes upon them. And by the time they, I mean, it's a long psalm, 118, but by the time they get to the end of that psalm, it's like, you know what, I feel really good. God's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. The power of Scriptures, not just against the enemy, but to calm our own fears, our own anxieties. This is power. Again, we think, oh, I'd really like to, you know, have people come up here and pray over them, and they throw their crutches away. That would really be impressive. But think about the power we're talking about, the power of changing people's hearts, the power to forgive, the power to be able to witness with boldness and actually draw people to Jesus Christ, the power to believe and trust in the midst of so much in this world that's telling us otherwise, the power for signs and wonders for people just to show them and to believe that in fact God really is true, the power of prayer and the power of the Word of God. This is power. I think this is what Jesus talked about when he said, you're going to do even greater things. Raising the dead, yeah, that's something. But what about this? Forgiving one another, forgiving your enemies, praying for those who persecute you. That is a greater power. I think that's what he was talking about. And it's the power that's in us by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to get to the... That was the easy part of the sermon, by the way. Okay, now we're going to get to the hard part. Because I think when we hear this, we can have a tendency to say, oh, all right, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to trust more. I'm going to be in the Word more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to do more. I'm going to be better. And it's the exact opposite is what the Scriptures call us to do. Remember our example of Paul. Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, a thorn was given me in the flesh. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. How many times in our lives, what do we want? I want to be strong. I want to feel confident. I want to be at peace. I want everything to be going right in my life. I want to really feel good about things. And in the midst of all that, he says, guess what? You're going to puff up. You know what? Pride puffs up. Guess what? I'm going to send a thorn of Satan who's going to keep you from getting conceited and too prideful. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. Completely opposite of what the world would think. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And so if we play, oh Lord, I want to see the power of the Spirit working in me. You know what we're praying for? Weakness. Break me, Lord, that you may mold me. Break down this pride within me that's keeping me from being your instrument of peace. And so we need to be careful. We need to be careful saying, Lord, please help your Spirit to be stronger in me, because he says, in my weakness is when I am strong. I'm not saying don't pray for it. I'm just saying beware what we're praying for, because then things start to happen, the exact opposite. Lord, I'm praying for strength. I'm praying to give me peace. I'm praying that you would help me feel strong about things and good about things, and life would be easy and every day would be a joy and a walk in the rose garden. And instead, God sends me to the pits and to walking in the valley and getting muddy and dirty. And it's like, Lord, this isn't what I asked for. He says, yes, it is. Yes, it is. This is what you asked for. That I would be more manifested in you to others around you. Yeah, this is how it happens. This is what you asked for. I'm like, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And again, think of it from a logical point of view. In the midst of weakness, when we've seen other people who are struggling, has it not their faith been a tremendous witness to us? Like, oh my goodness, they still have peace and assurance of God's presence with them in the midst of all that's going on. In the midst of weakness, the Holy Spirit is strong. A final word I want to say about where the world is today, because this is the challenge that we encounter. It is so countercultural, everything I've just been talking about. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Understand this, in the last days there will be times of difficulty. It's going to be times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Did you see that story in the news this week of I think it was 30-year-old son? The parents had to go to court to get this guy out of their house. They had to go to court to have their son evicted from their house. And it's taken them 2 weeks to leave. Is this real? Ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving the good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Does this sound familiar at all? Listen to this. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. The appearance of godliness. Go to church every Sunday, wear nice clothes, do nice things, say beautiful prayers. Where's the power? And if the power comes through weakness and brokenness, dare we pray that God would increase his power through us to save a dying world. And so we grasp on to our weaknesses. We grasp on to our challenges. Whatever trial, whatever conflict we have in our lives today, we grasp on to it. Because in the midst of that, as we are dwelling in the weakness and the brokenness, the power of the Holy Spirit of God will be manifested through us. And the world will see it. They will know the truth that Jesus is Lord. So Jesus said, you know the things I've done? Guess what? You're going to do even greater things than this. The power to change people's hearts is going to be manifested in you and through you. The power to forgive. The power to witness. The power to trust and to believe. This is true power, and it comes to us by the Holy Spirit of the risen Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is upon us. We are in the last days, and there will be difficulties. But in our weakness, God is strong. And so truly, the best is yet to come, because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. And yes, Father, we even thank you for the challenges you've given us, that in our weakness and our brokenness, that you would be strong, that our witness would be stronger, our prayers would be stronger, our faith would be stronger, our ability to forgive would be stronger. So, Lord God, in the midst of all this, instead of trying harder, help us to surrender more. Help us to surrender to the work of your Spirit in us and through us, that the world would know that Jesus is the Savior of all, the King of all creation. And so it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.